Sarah McQuaid, hello, and how in the musical world are you?
I am very well, Julia. Thank you. Delighted to be talking to you.
It's just great, and I think there's never a dull moment in your life. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment, yeah. As we speak, I just flew over yesterday from England, so I'm still a little bit jet-lagged. It feels really late at night for me right now, but, you know, we'll get there.
Oh, yes, and you're going to be here for a while, so you'll have time to acclimate and embrace our fair country.
Yeah.
I am curious, Sarah, where did your musical passion all begin?
You know, my mother played guitar and piano and sang, so my earliest memories all kind of revolve around music. My uncle played as well, and I live in England, but if my accent sounds American, it's because I grew up in Chicago, although I was born in Spain, which is where my father was from. My mother was from Chicago, and I was a member of the Chicago Children's Choir from the age of, I think I was 6 or 7 when I joined, and that was a really important part of my musical development, because that really taught me the kind of professional side of music and performing and touring. We used to do these 10-day tours, and I came across one of the tour schedules recently, and man, they were intense.
That's quite a prestigious organization to be in for.
Yeah, a huge wealth of different genres and styles of music, you know? And then my mother was big into folk music, and then she had a vast record collection as well, which I still have, old LP records, you know, which are all kinds of music. So it was eclectic right from the very beginning.
When did you realize it would haunt you for life? Was it ever a conscious thing, or did it just always get in your blood and never let you go?
Oh, it always got in my blood and never let me go. I mean, I wrote my first song when I was about 8 years old. It was a terrible song, you know, but and I was writing songs right through, you know, from when I was little on through high school, joined a band when I was in high school, and also used to play my own songs at school assemblies and stuff. And then when I was in college, started touring, funnily enough, with the traditional Irish band in France. So yeah, it was always part of my life. The only time music kind of left my life for a little while was right around the time when I had my two kids. I got to a point when I was pregnant with my son that I just couldn't hold my guitar. My tummy was too big, you know. And then I had my daughter 2 years later. And so I actually didn't play music at all for a number of years. I had a job working as a journalist, and I hadn't taken my guitar out of its case in years. And then I got a phone call from a guitar festival in County Sligo in Ireland saying they wanted me to come and give a guitar workshop, because I'd written this book about playing guitar in this tuning that I use all the time, Dadgad, D-A-D-G-A-D. It's an alternative way of playing a guitar. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to come and give a workshop, and I was all set to say no because I hadn't played my guitar in 5 years. And then they said, you'll be co-presenting the workshop with Dick Gaughan, and he's an amazing guitarist and songwriter and one of my musical heroes. And I just thought, if I say no, if I turn down this chance to sit and present a workshop with him and talk to him, I'm just going to be kicking myself. And I just kind of taught myself how to play guitar again really quickly and went and gave that workshop. And I guess it was 5 months later, I quit my job and became a full-time musician. And I've been a full-time musician ever since.
Oh my goodness, what a dramatic story, romantic story. And it fits with your whole life and lifestyle, it sounds like. Also your destiny to be the really, really wonderful performer that you are. I think that's so cool, too.
You.
And since you've had the different styles and the different continents and the different upbringing that's all added up to wonderful, are you equally at home with the musical styles and instruments from these various locations?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I take inspiration from so many different styles and genres. And it's funny, I did another interview earlier today, actually, and the guy was saying how hard to categorize my music was, you know. He said, especially with the new album, and he made the comment that you don't sit still. You know, this is my fifth album now, and all of the albums have been really, really different stylistically, mm-hmm, and I've done new things with each one. But I like that. I feel like I'm always learning, you know, and I'm always being challenged and kind of just trying to set myself new tasks.
It keeps it fresh for you.
Yeah,
is that the bottom line?
Keep it fresh. I think that's really important. I would never want to get stuck in a rut and feel like I was doing the same thing over and over again.
I can understand that, and certainly you are living true to that. And I have to say that new album is really, really wonderful. Very impressive. You added new instruments like piano and electric guitar and drum. To your skills.
You know,
so now who does that?
I do play the electric guitar and the piano. And then There's one track on the album that, well, I wrote it as an a cappella song, and then we had a wonderful drummer called Roger Luxton come in and put down some really terrific percussion on it. And I wanted to tour the song, and I was like, oh, man, I don't have Roger. So Roger came, and he gave me a drum lesson and learned me a drum, which I've still got on loan in England. And my cousin Adam, who's also a drummer, has loaned me a drum for this tour. So, yes, I kind of had to learn to play the drum just so I could play that song and have it accompanied the way I wanted it accompanied.
Good for you. Good for your spunk as well as your whole good musical sportitude, I have to say, for approaching each day with what more can I do? What can I know? What can I learn? What can I enjoy?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
And you just began a major whirlwind tour of the U.S., and that's a great big accent on whirlwind. Does the breakneck pace energize you?
Yeah, I like it. Well, you know, in a way, it's kind of like a campaign or something, because you're building the whole time, and you're meeting new people the whole time, and you get a chance to really focus just on the music, which when I'm at home, I can't just focus on the music because I've got all these different things that are occupying my attention. So when you're on tour, then you can just be the musician, and that's really nice.
Yeah, I get it. And so, of course, you'll be here on Sunday. What are you going to be bringing us, Sarah?
Well, I decided not to try and tour a keyboard over here because it's one instrument too many to try and travel around with. But I've got electric and acoustic guitars. I'm going to be playing a lot of stuff from the new album. Well, pretty much everything from the new album. But I'm also going to be playing material from all my previous albums. So a real eclectic mix and switching instruments. And, you know, I try and keep it varied both for my own entertainment and the audience's. I don't want anybody to get bored in any way. It's funny, people see my stage set up and they go, oh, I didn't know you had a band with you. And I'm like, no, that's all for me.
I think that's great. And again, you do keep it all mixed up and wonderful. It has to be the same for you. That has to be part of the magic too,
yeah.
I think. So once you get home, and it's taken you, I think, through October through the United States, you're going to still be hard on that road all through November?
Yeah, basically a three-month tour, 2 months in the USA and a month in the UK. And I get a week off. It's exactly 7 days. I get home on the 23rd of October and I leave on the 1st of November. But then I'm going to get a good long break at home at the end of November, and it'll be nice. It'll be December and coming up the holidays. Winter will be setting in, so it'll be a good time to be at home.
Yes, you'll be taking great comfort in that. And plotting what the next thing you're going to do, as what I understand of you and your life. What do you like to do when you're not doing music? For art-centric fun, just not music.
Oh, I do a lot. I read a lot of books. I love cooking. I do the odd bit of drawing. I'm hoping to get some work done in our garden. Over the winter, you can really get in there and clear stuff out, you know?
Indeed.
So I got all these plans.
You can be thinking about that while you're on tour, what you're going to do once you get back home.
Possibly. I tend not to. I tend to focus on the present, you know, and then I get home and go, oh, right, okay, I'm home now, you know. But as I say, one of the nice things about being on the road is to be able to really just focus so directly on the music itself and on performing and making connections with audiences. There's something, it's almost electrical sometimes. I think especially when you're a solo performer, there's more of a connection with audiences than there is if you have a band, because if you have a band, the energy is kind of all going around on stage, and that's great too. But there's something really nice about when you really feel like you have a whole audience with you, you know? It's really lovely.
It is an intimate situation, as an audience might say, about the performance. Do you feel the same kind of magic yourself?
Well, I feel like there's a magic in the room that's made by me and the audience in combination. And there's something else. I've heard a lot of musicians say this. When you're performing and you're really in the zone, you almost feel like you're tapping into something outside yourself. You know, it's not coming from you. It's out there and you kind of slot in with it for a little while. And it's amazing. There's nothing like it. I feel really lucky, really privileged to be able to spend so much time doing it. I spent 12 years working as a journalist, sitting at a desk all day, every day. And it was pretty depressing, to be honest. I was pretty miserable. And then when I finally quit that job and became a musician, it was just this wonderful epiphany. You know, this is what my life is supposed to be about.
Do you ever run out of inspirations for songs?
Well, generally what happens is I'm not looking specifically for inspirations for songs. And the last two albums that I've made, what happened is I've been writing down ideas for songs as they come to me and just not having time to flesh them out into finished songs. And so then when I realize I've got to make an album and I've booked the studio time, getting out my list of song ideas, and there's always more ideas than I can use, more collecting all these ideas and then going, okay, which ones am I going to run with, and looking at how they fit together into an album and these little themes develop.
I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. Don't ever quit. Keep doing it.
Well, thank you, Julia. That's really kind.
Yes. In the meantime, Sarah, it is clear what your music and musical spirit does for the world, and we thank you for that. It's something very, very special. So my last question is, what does it do for you?
Oh, it gives me joy. I can't really say any more than that. It brings me joy, and if it brings joy to other people, then I've done my job right, you know?
I want to say goodbye to you now, and thank you for sharing your time with us, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Julia.
Now, safe travels and happy trails, and see you right here in Fort Wayne this Sunday.
Okay. Thanks so much. See you then.
There's a boy in the garden with a shovel and a spade.
That was WBOI's Julia Meek, speaking by telephone with Sarah McQuaid, a musician based out of Cornwall, England, on tour in the U.S. The music you're hearing is If We Dig Any Deeper, It Could Get Dangerous, the title cut from her newest album. You can hear more of Julia Meek's arts and culture coverage on 89.1 WBOI.
I say, I know you're having fun. I don't want to make a fuss, but if you dig any deeper, it could get dangerous. Are better left buried down under the crust, and if we dig any deeper, it could get dangerous. Put your shovel away, time to call it a day. Sometimes the way to fix a problem is to turn the pressure off, 'cause if you dig any deeper, it could get get dangerous.